I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Doran grabs your chest and pulls you back.
Yeah, I was joking too.
I got it. No, I wasn't complaining.
A moment of peace for the lost ones.
It's all right. It's no worse than the berries.
Oh, I didn't even look up.
Doors don't go out around Doran.
Why haven't you responded?
Whatever. Fine. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. I'm done with this relationship.
I'm like almost out of gas, but I've got just enough time.
It's tough losing somebody, you know.
Well, don't give me too much credit.
All right.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is episode 88, A New Leaf.
This week's MVP is Jason Burrows, who's been selflessly promoting us on Twitter. Every time you tell someone to listen to Dice Shame, Red eats another piece of rabbit jerky.
Hum, hum, hum. Sigil Entertainment is an art production studio that works with some of the top brands in the tabletop gaming world, and they're launching a superhero-themed D&D 5e companion Kickstarter at the end of June. To celebrate this high-octane mutant, we will be collaborating with Sigil Entertainment to bring you a brand new live-streamed actual play series. Harlan's going to take the DM seat, I'm going to be playing a hero named Bloom, and we'll be joined by our friends Ahmed, Erica, and Gary to round out the team. We'll be going live on Monday, June 28th at 8 p.m., so check us out on Sigil Entertainment's Twitch and YouTube channels.
It's gonna be fun.
All right, ready to get down to business?
Let's do it.
So, I found something interesting in the house the other day.
It's not mine. I bought it from Justin.
Had hidden all components of his beloved Batman outfit his bed and carefully draped a blanket on top of it so that we wouldn't find it, because I think he wanted to make sure that he knew where it was at all times, maybe?
No, I think he just wanted to keep it out.
You got
to
be prepared. You got to have your secret costume in your secret base.
It's in his bat cave.
It was underneath the bed, just with a little blanket on top of it.
I mean, I saw him do it. The funniest part, though, is he had a little pair of undies under there, too.
It was like a full top outfit.
Yeah, it wasn't just like suit goes on what I'm wearing. He got like down to socks.
Listen, you never leave the house with dirty underwear. You don't know if you get hit by a bus, who's going to find you? You don't know, right?
That's right.
So if you get dressed as Batman, you got to put on clean undies. Although I did ask him if they were clean, and the answer was questionable.
Oh, no.
He kind of hemmed and hawed about it.
I said, did you use those? He's like, yeah. I'm like, but are they dirty? He's like, no. I was like, but were you wearing them? He's like, I wear underwear all the time. I was like, all right.
That's some slick question game performance right there.
He certainly got it nailed
He learns it.
Do you guys ever find...
He learned it from you.
Especially with you, Alex. Do you ever find anything in your house that you had hidden, or that Liam maybe hid from you, that you discover secrets?
Secret candy.
No. You know what's funny is... What? I don't find stuff that anybody else has hidden, but I find stuff that I have hidden.
What do you hide?
From yourself?
Yeah. Well, I don't really... That's kind of like.
Is it alcohol?
No.
Do we need to stage an intervention?
It's the smoking stuff, right? So what I'll do is I'll buy
weed.
I'll buy
it's legal
little,
now. You're good.
I know. I'll buy a little cannabis and then I'll hide some of it so that I have some for later. And then
you'll smoke so much that you forget where you hit it.
Well, I don't even have to smoke it because months later I'm like, oh, what's this? There's like a wrapper at the bottom of this toolbox. Oh my God. There's a bunch of weed
like
in here.
Toolbox weed.
Yeah. Or like
for
wherever
when you're doing
wherever
like heavy duty house repairs and you
that's
need
where
to
I found it last.
It sounds like long grown habits that like are hard to break, I'm imagining.
That's right.
After a
that's
while.
Right.
I'm just like, this needs to be stashed somewhere or else.
You know what's gonna happen. You know, your son's gonna be 18 years
say,
old,
Liam
you're gonna open
gonna
a toolbox and Liam is smoking. You get in here right now. And then halfway through the argument, it's gonna be like, but Dad, I never you go to your room.
Dad, that's 25
shit, wait a minute.
Weed.
This is mine. this is mine from last week.
Wait a minute. He smokes my brand.
I hide stuff on myself too, like supplies. Supplies. It makes supplies. It sound like.
What kind of supplies do
like, you
have?
You know, like,
toilet paper?
Water and. No, but like toilet paper and stuff. Like, you know, because here's the thing.
No wonder it's so fucking hard to find anything around this house.
No,
because there's a culture of hiding is what's going on here. There's...
So, but no, because no one wants to be on the toilet to find you're out of toilet paper. So what I'll do is I'll like stash one at the way, way back, right? Because what happens is inevitably there'll be a point in the future where I'm like, oh my God, what? And then I'm like clawing and trying to find something. And then I'll go, oh, thank God I did this. And they'll find it. And I absolutely have done that multiple times.
I could just picture Harlan running around the house, poop hanging out of his butt, and he's like,
yeah.
I knew I hid the paper towel here or the toilet paper here somewhere.
I'm definitely in that, like, well, I'll need that. I'll just buy one every time. And then it'll be like build up and be like, oh,
you got 17 sticks of deodorant.
Like, where the hell I got to find a space for it just because it's, you know, lots of deodorant just because I use it. It's going to definitely get used. What's, you know, I'm pretty sure I don't need one, but just in case, I should have an extra.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely like that with like, diapers for Henry or paper towel. Mm. You know, every time he's like, well, we'll get paper towel. Everyone needs paper towel. And then you get like 17 rolls of paper towel.
Harlan squirrels like empty jam jars around the place too.
Oh, listen, you never know when you're going to need
a
jam
jar. You never know when you're going
to need a jar. You never know when you're going to need a jam jar.
Do you guys
jar.
See that fucking meme where it's Bilbo Baggins and he's like, after all, why shouldn't I keep it? But he's looking at a jar. That's Harlan.
Yeah, that's me. Definitely with my jars.
What about Justin? Do you hide anything, Justin?
Yeah, Justin.
Or do you find hidden things?
Do you find shit that your roommate hides?
No. I mean...
I'm normal.
It's not normal for things to be hidden around. You know,
I don't hide things. I lose things.
It's not like Harlan and Joe's household.
Mm. What do you lose?
Glasses, camping equipment. It's just, it all disappears. Because we've got a lot of, especially camping equipment, we've got between Sean and I, mostly Sean, 99% Sean, 1% me. Between Sean and me, we have...
I have a pot.
A lot of camping gear.
But I lose that pot every day.
So mine gets swept up in his stuff, and I don't know where a lot of it is. But definitely not
You'll
intentionally
it
hiding it.
No.
Have none of you hidden money on yourself, though?
Yes. That's a good thinking. That's the other one I've done.
Because I've definitely hid money on myself.
Whenever I put a winter coat away, I used to leave a bill in the pocket.
Yeah.
So that when you pull it out the next season,
you got
you're
a bill.
Like, oh,
that's why I go
bucks.
Through all your coats.
Shut up. You do not.
You know it's what, though? I mean, there have been times, though, where I'm like, oh, I pull out a book and there's like $100 like stuffed into it. I'm like,
you put money in books?
Absolutely. You know I do. I got two
books
with
books.
Money in them.
Or I like come home from making a deposit about this or that, and I'm like, a serious stack of cash. Or maybe going on a trip or something. You come back with like a stack of cash.
Yeah, you just put
all
it
right.
away.
So,
yeah.
Alex, what's your address so that people who want to find a bunch of weed and money can just
come over? I mean, it does sound like a cool house to go through, right? Like, just to like check out all the nooks and crannies of just while you were there.
You know what? Maybe that's part of it, because I do think maybe this is a family thing, because I remember like being at grandpa's house or something, you know, and like opening drawers and you see there's little things stashed in there where they're just, it's just like secrets upon secrets upon secrets of like, you open a random box and it's just filled with guns and you're like, whoa.
My grandfather was a locksmith, and when he passed away, I got this cool like lockbox, and I like teenage me like put all my treasures in there, whatever that was. But then I lost the key and moved this box around with me for like 20 years until a friend of mine recently, I got maybe recently, like a year ago, I got them to pick the lock for me because she's pretty handy with that kind of stuff. And it was like all of this weird, like, oh, here's a cool ring that looks like a lion. And here's a bunch of shiny rocks. And here's like some dice. And here's a letter opener that looks like a dagger. And it was just like,
you were a magpie.
It was definitely all of those, like, oh, these are definitely things 13-year-old me thought were so cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, I still have stuff like that. And I still think they're cool. Oh, I do, have a
I
box. Do too.
I just now had like, this time capsule moment of like, I forgot about this stuff.
I want to do that. Bury a time
Did you
capsule.
Cry? I probably would have cried if I got
it. It was a pretty cool moment.
Like
I there was a it was a little bit delayed because I'd left it with them. And so I got a bunch of pictures of it before like the actual unveiling and getting to hold all the stuff. At the same time,
it ruined it.
You know, couldn't quite be that.
I think squirreling away is a very human tendency.
It's a squirrel tendency.
Squirrel tendency.
Squirrels call it humaning away.
We should play some Dungeons and Dragons. You want to play some Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah. Do you guys want to find some treasures?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh,
yes.
Maybe this episode will have some treasures.
I would love
treasure. Promise.
The
no
real
promises.
Treasure is the adventure we had along the way.
Ain't that the truth?
I get his share.
I'm taking your inspiration away.
Oh.
So, the heat of battle subsides, and the rush of wind from the elementals settles, and we are all standing in this great hall in the tower in the canyon. Zolkin is shocked. He lays Kella's burned out body down on the floor and then sits back heavily, leaning on his hands, just kind of staring vacantly into space. I was waiting for her in Yarder. I thought I might run into her there on the docks one day, a new recruit for the Hand or something. We had a habit of crossing paths. I was assumed things would turn out differently for me and her. Stupid me. Stupid her. You fell in with the wrong crowd again, darling.
And Red, who's standing right next to Zolkin, just puts a hand on his shoulder and says, well, thank you. When push came to shove, you really showed your mettle. We appreciate that so tremendously.
It was nothing. He stands up and sort of brushes himself off. We're in this together right now, right?
I think at that point, Doran kind of comes striding across the room, sheathing his axe and dusting his hands off on one another.
You know what? That did take a lot of guts there, Zolkin. I'm sorry that you, you know, she may not have been your best friend or, you know, but it's tough losing somebody you know.
Well, don't give me too much credit.
All right. Anyway. No, so we broke out of this room. We didn't really look around. Are there any other doors off this main room? What does it look like again now in this shambled state?
I will remind you, yes. So this great hall spans the eastern half of this tower. There are also some broken down stone walls that indicate there were a couple of rooms to the south that are now sort of part of this one large room. There are some mounted heads of griffins, wyverns, owlbears, manticores decorating. A few of them still hang from their places around the room looking down over this great hall. There's a partially burned and covered in grease feasting table that occupies the majority of the eastern side of the room. And of course, there's a spiral staircase that pierces through the middle of this tower, which you ascended to attain this height. There are two more rooms here that you have not investigated, just to the north and northwest.
Well, I suppose the first thing we do is loot the bodies and see if Nivan and his team have anything of value.
Not a bad choice.
Doran kind of walks around the room, and as he's walking by Rob, or as he's walking by Jack.
John?
Hey, Jeff?
He says,
Wow, you were tossed down the stairs there a few times. You're doing all right. That stone skin seems to have protected you pretty well.
Well, I got in my steps for the day.
Jack's kind of still head ringing, climbing off his ass on the ground, trying to get his bearings, just sort of looking around. Yeah, thanks for looking in on me. It's a pretty good trick,
I'd say.
Kraloth is collecting bodies and bringing them all next to one another as Red is going through the pockets. You find anything there, Red?
Red, you find that each of the air cultists has a belt pouch that contains some gold and platinum pieces. Once you go through all six pouches, you find 112 gold and 44 platinum. The body of Navan has a gold signet ring on his hand. And the other wizard, she's got a silver necklace on with a sapphire pendant.
And I think Red removes the gold signet ring and just goes, "Jack, heads up," and tosses it.
He definitely catches it, fumbles a little bit. I think it's one of those, it flies through the air and it's, you know, just bouncing from one hand to the other till he finally gets it right before he goes down the stairs with him almost tumbling down behind it.
Doran grabs your chest and pulls you back.
Manages to get a good look at the face of the signet ring just to see, do I recognize what it signifies? Or
you don't recognize the inscription, though it's very curious to you. It is an inverted triangle with a V on the top. It's kind of an abstract rune. Jack would appraise it to be worth about 200 gold pieces to the right buyer.
And is the silver necklace worth anything?
This one is probably just decorative. It doesn't have any sort of inscription.
That's kind of what I thought. And Red tucks it away. Do I know roughly how much it'd be worth?
Yeah, it's about 250 gold.
All right.
Do they have any of those masks?
Ooh, yes. So a couple of them had been wearing their helmets when they were fighting you. Some of the other helmets are actually on top of the table where they had been removed, probably when they were speaking with each other. They pulled them off. So altogether, you account for one helmet for each person you slayed.
Nice. Good thinking, Kraloth. And I take the helmets off as well and put them in the bag of holding. Mm-hmm. We'll need these for the griffins if we want to take them back to Yarda. Might be an easier way than taking the boat.
The vultures?
What did I say?
Griffins.
Whatever.
That's okay. It's one of those up there. It's right in front of you. I can see how you get confused.
What, that vulture on the wall? And I point to the griffin head.
No, it's a griffin. You can see because the...
Jack, that's a wyvern. We fought one, that grudhog.
No. The wyverns are the...
No. The one's downstairs. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Anyway, I figured we could take them back to Yarda if we wanted to.
Kraloth clears his throat, and he's got an old sheet that had been covering some crates in the corner, and he flaps it out and then lays it across the line of bodies that have been placed there. And he turns to Zolkin and says... A moment of peace for the lost ones.
Of course.
Zolkin nods at you, Kraloth. If you don't mind, I think I'd like to take Kella's body down to the river.
Oh, of course. That's preferable to me, actually.
Would you like some help?
He shakes his head and lifts up her charred corpse and sort of like fireman carry, like slings her over his shoulder. And he's like, well, don't do much looting without me, but... I'll be back. And he starts to take the stairs down.
May she rest well, Zolkin.
As this is all happening, Doran's kind of wandering around. And maybe he's reached the door to one of the rooms, let's say the north room. And he kind of puts his ear up to the door, just kind of like inquisitive about what might be behind it. Does he hear anything?
No, we don't hear anything.
Don't come in.
Yeah, you hear a goblin going like, no one's here.
Yeah, once Zolkin's gone, Jack might sort of walk back into the room and say kind of thoughtfully, you know, poor guy, I feel kind of bad for him. Do you think somebody set him up? I don't think he expected to see Kella here, but what are the odds?
I don't know. It definitely didn't sound like it. Well, he said he came to Yarda to try to search for her because of that hand, that old female assassin's guild or whatever they're called.
Yeah, but how'd he get the map to here?
Well, he said he pilfered it off of someone. Put it this way. By the way, he looked surprised when he walked in the door. I don't think he was expecting to see her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I expected him to have expected to see her, right? Like, I thought, and maybe that's shame on me. I didn't expect him to be so surprised. And
Jack, you did bad. We should have thought. No, I agree. I thought the same thing. No, I thought the same thing. I'm surprised at what Zolkin did, but I'm glad. And I don't know, maybe we can ask him more on the way back.
And I think at this moment, Doran, having listened to the door, not hearing anything, he opens it, or at least tries the handle.
It's unlocked.
And so he swings the door inward, slowly peering into the room.
No, it swings out.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
Okay, so he swings the door
in. He swings
outward.
The door in with much force.
He forces
Doran
it.
Doran kicks the door in, and that's one thing we know. Doors don't go out around Doran.
You break the hinges. This chamber contains the shattered and moldering remains of two beds, two chests, a defaced tapestry, and a fireplace. All of them are moldering with disrepair. And also, it's filled with a shallow pool of murky water.
Gross.
And it's at this point when Doran leans in and smells the water, and then dips his fingers in and tastes
dying,
the water.
Dying to taste this water.
Finally, I got to do it!
Inspiration.
It tastes gross.
Last time I did it, I got a spell. Oh, maybe well. This time it'll give me
some.
Oh, that's
Easter
that's
egg
terrible.
Unlocked.
Whatever was on the floor here.
Achievement unlocked. Achievement unlocked. Do the impossible.
Gross weirdo achievement. No, you taste the weird water. It doesn't taste like anything except for like old stone. Oh, let me get real descriptive about this. Doran, you taste this gross, weird water and it reminds you of being underground. It reminds you of water that sit on old stone for too long. It's stale and unpleasant.
And a little bit of poop in it.
There's maybe some old vulture poop.
This tastes like
griffin poop.
Wyvern droppings?
The base level of a goblin stronghold.
Descriptive.
And then after opening that door and tasting the water, Doran walks down to the south door and opens that
Let's
door.
Let's see if there's more
I think
water
Red goes to help
taste.
Him because he wants to see Doran drink water again.
Sure, yeah. This room is very similar to the previous room in terms of furnishings. It's relatively untouched, but there are a couple of holes in the stone wall, about 2 feet in diameter, and the wind whistles through them.
Doran walks in and peers out the hole in the wall.
Your little dwarf face just sits neatly inside one of the holes and...
Boom.
Doran, as you look out the window, you notice it's starting to get dark out.
It's starting to get dark out.
Kraloth, you put a sheet over these bodies. Are you just going to leave them here for now?
Yeah, I think so. Kraloth's tendency when it comes to dealing with humans is to torch it, but he's not in Barovia anymore, and there have been several times where he didn't torch the bodies because the chances of them turning aren't as likely as in Barovia. So it's uncomfortable for him, but he settles the tarp on top of them, and then he's fine with that, and mutters a prayer to Kelimvor.
I wonder if there isn't a bit of a rhythm to this, like we've done before, where after Kraloth has looked at the corpses and put the sheet over them, Jack might sort of come over and give like the team corpse inspector kind of nod and be like, should we go dig some graves?
Yeah, I suppose so. Let Red and Doran take care of the looting.
You're less team corpse inspectors and more team corpse management.
It's all part of the job.
So maybe the two of you take the corpses downstairs to dig some graves.
I feel like Red looks out the window and he says, you know, you could bring them all the way downstairs, or you could just...
Oh, no!
I mean...
Smash cut them.
It would be quicker since they're dead and you're just going down anyway.
I mean, Kella was talking about throwing you guys off the roof of this place.
Like, and they're all like falling into the pit that he's dug. Like, it's perfect.
From a distance of 30 feet away and lower them in a grave from 30 feet above.
I love the idea, too, that it's like arrow slits and like Red and Kraloth are like trying to shove them through a little bit. You know, like...
The reverence.
Squeezing the bodies through and being like, come on.
The reverence for these dead bodies is just very temporary.
Yeah, Kraloth is not a fan of this idea. He just shakes his head and say, the dead must be respected, even if they were our enemies.
Ah, of course, I respect the dead too, Red says, as he's picking the hairs out of the helmet that he took.
There is maybe on the walk down the stairs.
Ew.
You know, Kraloth, they were air cultists. I wonder if being thrown out a window is more befitting for them.
One last journey.
And especially because is the one carrying them with you. He's like, you know. Red did have a point.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not a religious, you know, I don't quite know.
Didn't think they were that heavy.
We're almost there, Jack. Come on.
I got it. No, I wasn't complaining. I just wanted to put all the options on the table.
Hey, Doran, maybe we should check upstairs then while they're doing that.
Check upstairs further?
Well, I mean, this is a tower. We're only on level, what, 2?
Oh, I thought we... I didn't even look up.
The staircase does continue up.
I did not realize that. I thought that we were at the top.
Red heads up to the next floor.
Well, then, yeah, let's go.
The spiral staircase continues up above you. I should make that clear. However, on this landing, there are four doors, one leading off to the northeast, southeast, southwest, and northwest.
Hey, Doran, pick a number.
That one.
And Red opens the door.
Red, as you open the door, I want you to make a constitution saving
throw. Ooh, absolutely. traps.
Ooh, 17.
Nicely done.
Oh, good constitution.
Right. 8 poison damage.
Oof.
As this door handle sticks a needle into the flesh of your palm. Ooh. As you turn it.
Don't it! Ow!
Hey.
And I turn around and like I got a little blood on my palm and like, oh God, I just got stuck with the poison needle.
Oh, here, let me see that. And Doran grabs your hand and starts sucking the poison out of that wound.
It's all right. It's no worse than the berries.
Ew. Doran, make a constitution saving throw as you ingest this poison.
It's a dwarven rite of passage.
27.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Okay, Doran, so you succeed on your saving throw, so you're going to take 1/4 of this damage. Oof.
200.
5 damage.
I love the idea that maybe, like, Zolkin comes back up while Doran is sucking my palm, and Red is like, ow, ow, and Doran's like, I got it. Oh, hey, Zolkin. I got a little prick on me.
Not that little.
Zolkin's like, is everything okay here?
Yeah, we're just checking stuff out.
Poison pricks, you know?
Checking.
Watch out.
Kraloth will be back in a second, so we're just scouting ahead.
You open the door, this lately trapped door, to reveal a larger chamber than the one on the floor below. It contains the remains of ancient furniture, some articles of which are surprisingly well preserved. Some appear to have borne the aggression of some creature long ago and are shattered to pieces.
Whoa.
Anything of any particular value?
Yeah, it's possible. You see 2 different beds. It seems like there are kind of 2 rooms here that are like smushed into one that could have been divided at one point by like a tapestry or curtain. So there's 2 wardrobes, 2 chests, 2 beds.
I think Red eyes the room with his observant trait, giving his passive perception a natural 20, and just sort of sees if he can eye any details.
Yeah, just rummage through drawers and stuff.
Yeah, we rummage. That's what we do best.
Red, concealed in the drawer of a desk, you find a gold and ivory tube that extends itself in your hands into a spyglass.
Oh, cool!
It's etched with a flying quail and pointed leaves. You also find a leather-bound book with a silver clasp and a locket.
Doran, you know what this is?
And I hold up the spyglass to Doran.
No. What is it?
I think it makes things really, really small. And he puts it backwards and he like looks at Doran. See? Now you're like tiny. Look.
Oh, and I give it to Doran the opposite way as well.
Holy moly, you are way out there.
Yeah.
How did you move so fast?
I'm guessing that this is to trick opponents to think that they're not as big as they are. It's perfect for giants. Uh-huh. Jack's going to love this.
I like the way you think. That's got to be it.
Yeah.
That's for sure it, yes.
And then accidentally they look through it the other way.
Oh, wow, it makes things big too. It's a cool secondary benefit, but
it's all blurry. I can't see anything.
And after he gives the spyglass to Doran, Red just flips through the book.
Yeah, unfortunately, the paper is so aged that it sticks to itself. It's illegible.
Jack will probably like it anyway, and I put it away. And then the locket, is there any insignia or image in it?
Yeah, you open it up.
Of course.
Make a con... No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck.
Doran! I need you to suck me again!
Poison locket. No, you find a tiny illustration of a human woman inside.
Oh, and I think for a weird moment, as Red is in the room alone, he just has this, like, little bit of heartbreak. Maybe she is reminiscent of B or something. You know, maybe her eyes are just a little more soul-filled than he expected. But there's this odd moment of humanity that washes over Red as he sort of stares at this little locket.
Mm.
Maybe it's interrupted by Kraloth and Jack coming back up.
Yeah, Zolkin comes in and he's like, so how much do you figure that'll be worth, Red?
Oh, I don't know. This one might not be worth very much. And he kind of tucks it into his own personal little pocket.
Zolkin's like, we are keeping a tally, right, gentlemen?
Of course we're keeping a tally, Zolkin. Don't worry, we're not going to stiff you. You've sided with us, bud.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I slap him on the back and I say, You earned at least 1/6 or whatever you wanted.
Zolkin's like counting on his fingers. Like, 1, 2, 3. Doran, as you continue to explore these upper chambers, you find that most of them look all the same, kind of a replica of this first room, essentially.
Okay.
Except for the room, again, above that which you found the pool of water in. You find that this room was overgrown with mold.
Ah.
Thanks to some water lying stagnant on the floor, the greenish-gray mold covers everything in this room in a matte, fuzzy coating. And there are a few more holes in the stone wall that show the light, again, is fading more and night draws on outside.
Knew it! Mold!
Doran does enter the room. And in fact, he touches the mold.
Good.
Great.
That's it. Okay.
You touch that mold.
Roll a mold check.
Roll in it. Get it all over your body. Fucking weird dwarf.
Well, there's a bunch of mold in there.
Yeah. And now I'm guessing probably time-wise, Kraloth and...
Yep. So Kraloth and Jack are done with their corpse dealings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Graves were dug with magic. Bodies laid to rest, I'm sure.
Yep. Kalimvor is satisfied with how we did that. Thank you for your help,
Jack.
We can
supercut all the people we've had to bury in this campaign. I know.
And it's just all of the sound of bodies being dropped into graves, just thwomp, thwomp, thwomp. Before we buried the wizardy lady, I wrote down that she had a flute last time. Is it possible Jack could have picked up the flute that was on this wizard and is sort of keeping it with him?
Unfortunately, as your hand grazes this flute inquisitively, you don't detect any of the familiar buzz of magic. This seems to be a mundane flute, but it is beautifully wrought.
I think that's almost, Jack's almost relieved that it's mundane. I think there's a part of him that's looking for like a new outlet, and he's sort of been thinking about, what if I tried to learn music? That might be a thing. So I think he's almost like, oh, great. This isn't magical. This isn't treasure. It's just a nice instrument. And so he's got that sort of tucked away in his backpack.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, as you ascend these stairs back maybe into the great hall to see where your friends have gotten up to, you recognize that like the touches on these furnishings, destroyed as they may be, definitely reminiscent of Waterdavian style, some of them. Maybe like the placards behind the taxidermied heads are reminiscent of some of like the coats of arms that maybe could have been part of noble families from hundreds of years ago. Like this tower essentially was certainly Waterdavian in make initially.
It should be put in a museum.
This whole tower?
Just, it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
When Red sees Jack, he's like, oh, I got something for you. And he reaches into his bag and gives him the tattered diary, assuming it's a diary because it looked handwritten. And he says, this is not legible to me, but maybe you'll like it. And also, I gave Doran a cool glass that lets you see things really tiny, which you might like to have a look at.
A microscope?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Jack gingerly takes the book and just sort of gives it this like, oh, it looks pretty beat up. Wonder what's in here. But maybe sets it aside to examine thoroughly later. Who doesn't love a good puzzle project? Book restoration on the campfire seems right up his alley.
For sure. So the stairway still goes up from this third floor.
Doran is peering out one of these holes with the spyglass and realizing now exactly what it is. And playing it off, he comes back in to the staircase and he's about to head up. He says, yeah. You know that thing that you see really small with? Well, I mean, come on. You're just joking, right? Because it lets you see really far.
Yeah, of course I'm joking. I know what a thing is.
Yeah, I was joking too.
What do you think? I'm an idiot.
And we both exchanged
it. No, it's
glance.
Cool. I really like it. It's really cool.
Here, Jack. And he passes it to Jack.
Well, show it to Jack first.
Hold on. Doran, I bet you've never... I mean, dwarves, of course you wouldn't. Why would you ever have like, there's just this whole moment of like, of course Doran would have no idea what this is. Dwarves live underground. There isn't a lot of like... No. Let's get up to the top of this tower, Doran. You can do some really cool cartography with this thing.
Oh, really?
This is one of the primo cartographer tools out there.
Maybe with that being said, Doran kind of clutches it and dashes up the stairs.
I do love this, like, ready to offer it, and then be like, wait a minute.
Wait, this is cool?
And like a kid, he brings it back in and immediately charges up the stairs, thinking that, you know, there's going to be a point of this tower that you can just look out for miles.
In my own headcanon, you know, like Red is the scout, and logically I think this would be a useful tool. But in my headcanon, he shoots at 700 feet plus without disadvantage. So even though it's not mechanically that he has like zoomed in eyesight, I think he has absolutely fantastic eyesight from an amazing distance, which is also one of the reasons why I don't think Red would have ever used this, because I kind of feel like that's almost like a Tabaxi hunter trait. You know, it's something that they do and have. So
you didn't even think about using a thing that helps augment your eyesight.
I genuinely think that
sees that far already.
Exactly. I genuinely think this is something that Red and Doran wouldn't have experienced before. Yeah, maybe on the ship over, but even so, it would have been like for a few minutes.
Maybe it's like Red looks out and he sees like, you know, this vast valley and cliffs, and like he's just seeing so far, and he holds the spyglass up and it doesn't
change. It's the same. Yeah.
It's just like the exact same distance somehow.
Yeah. No, it's like just a tiny bit bigger. It's like, cool. It's a little bit bigger. Anyway, and I head upstairs too.
Mm-hmm. At the apex of the tower, the stairs terminate at a round gazebo that continues upward in a minaret. Beyond this enclosure, a dry planted rooftop is crusted in snow. Four paths paved with white stones peek through the frost, pointing in the cardinal directions, each path ending in a pointed stone crenellation. The sun has set. The canyon carves a dark line to the east and west of your position, and the first stars glitter in the deepening sky.
Look up there, Doran. Look how clearly you can see the stars and the moons around Saloon there.
The top of this tower is essentially in line with the top of the canyon.
Right.
So the tower is entirely hidden, but given that you are suspended over the space of this empty canyon, a flying animal would have space to throw themselves into the void and gain purchase in the air.
Wow.
Makes total sense why the cult of Yan Xibin would seek it out as a fort so many years later, you know?
So cool.
What a cool slice of history.
No. What am I looking at? A star? Oh, a star.
Look up at the moon there at Saloon. You can see, look at how clear the craters are going to be.
Wow.
Up here, Red is just going to, you know, do a search. I think he's going to sort of go back through this floor and the floor below and just see if we missed anything. With that treasure chest being buried in the planter, I'm sort of interested if there's any other loot stashed away. You know what I mean? Because it seemed odd.
Like candy.
Yeah, like secret candy.
Secret candy.
And I guess what Doran's thinking is, what the hell is with this mold?
Where is the mold from? Mm. I know that you have a natural 20, essentially, on your perception.
Yeah.
So you don't find anything through your thorough searching of the rest of the rooms in this tower until you get down to the stables.
Oh.
Because, Red, you came down here briefly, but you did not peek into each and every one of these stalls. I think you interacted with one of the giant vultures, and Kraloth did a lot of the extra searches.
Yeah, I'll poke ahead into each of them.
You do so.
Look at these pretty griffins.
I love this tower. Like, the whole concept is just kind of neat.
Hidden underneath a substantial pile of ancient straw and kind of in between some animal droppings, you do see the glimmer of the side of a chest kind of poking out.
Nice. Yeah, Red's just sort of, he's at the bottom of his search now, kind of giving up. He's just like, he's poking in each one. And he kind of sees this odd looking pile. And he's like, well, why would a pile be so large in a stall? I mean, there's piles out here in the hallway. And he just kind of walks in and like, I feel like he kicks it a bit with his foot and feels that like thunk of a chest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he uncovers it.
Yeah, you find a substantial feeling, like a heavy feeling, a wooden chest that's bound with iron.
Mm.
Fool me once, he says, and he is going to check for traps.
This is not trapped, but it is locked.
Mm.
I'll probably go get Zolkin.
Yeah, like, cool.
Zolkin, I need your help.
He comes down, he's happy to help you out.
And I think while we have that moment, he's just like, and I am really sorry about Keller. I know we give you a hard time because, well, frankly, it's funny and you're kind of a douchebag at times. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are glad you're on our side, and I see some good in you. I think you have a bigger part of this story in you yet.
Well, Red, I appreciate your sentiments. We'll see, I suppose.
Well, who are you calling a wussy? Red says and puts his fists up.
What I mean to say is, honestly, Red, and he's like bent over the lock here, getting his tools ready, inserting them into the hole and sort of fiddling around. I'm not really sure where I'm going to be going next. I don't think I'm back to Yarder. And if you guys don't mind, maybe when morning rolls around and I don't have to worry about any manticores picking me off in the night, I wouldn't mind taking a vulture myself and seeing where it takes me.
Hey, you've earned it. But I want you to trust yourself. And I kneel down next to him for a second and just say, Zolkin, I really do mean I think you have more in you. You don't have to live this life. You could lead people. You could be in charge of maybe a party like ours, maybe a group of people that need help. You have it within you to help in a meaningful way. You should consider that.
With a click of the lock, he turns to you with a smile and he says, Red, I don't think there's ever been quite a party like you guys. Anyway, let's take a look. What do we got here? Rubs his hands together. Inside of this lockbox, you find a large brass mug with jade inlay all along the top of it. Mm. It's heavy. Looks like maybe something that Doran would be seen drinking out of one of his fest halls of his youth. You also find a leather pouch that feels full of something, as well as a small pile of gold pieces.
Mm. Dibs, Zolkin. Dibs.
Zolkin's like, well, we are splitting the loot.
You don't understand how dibs works. I'll explain it to you when we go back upstairs. And Red scoops up all the loot and starts walking upstairs.
So you've got 750 gold here.
Wow.
Yeah. So substantial finding. You also, well, we'll let Jack appraise the mug.
Mm-hmm. It's what makes him happy.
Inside of the leather pouch, you find 6 bloodstone.
Whoa, that sounds cool.
These are dark gray rocks with red flecks in them.
Red loves that. As he's like walking upstairs, he just pulls them out and he's like, what the hell are these? This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I gotta ask Doran about this. And heading back upstairs, he hands the jade mug to Jack and says, hey, check this out, but Doran! And he runs over to Doran. What the hell are these stones?
Doran, how familiar are you with gems?
Well, I'll take a look. You never know.
That's a 15.
Hey!
You know that bloodstones are fairly valuable. Ones like this will probably fetch about 50 gold pieces each if you can pry them from Red's hands. And you know that certain dwarves like to use them in jewelry because they are said to heighten intuition and creativity. Oh. So people who are like artsy fartsy kind of like these stones because they're
erudite dwarves.
Yeah, they're said to be like channelers of creative spirits.
Hey, these are bloodstones. Very interesting stuff here, Red. I knew a couple growing up that they would carry these around with them while doing their blacksmithing. It helped influence and inspire their work. And let me tell you, I mean, I do some beautiful stuff, but you know, I never really was a believer of these bloodstones. But you know, now that I see them up close, would you want to give me one of these?
I think we should all keep one, unless you want to sell it. I don't care. Yeah. And give one to Dora and keep one for myself. And
cool.
I can just sell them if anybody doesn't want them.
Yeah, I'll definitely take one of those. You say it enhances creativity? Maybe this will help me in the kitchen.
You're creative enough. If anything, you could use a little less. Red taps his belly and burps. Yeah, you're perfect. I was just trying to add flavor.
Just like you do in the kitchen. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and we found a mug. Here you go, Jack.
Hey. Oh, yeah, a mug. I'm good at these. what is it? What are we looking at?
This is certainly an art piece that is more than 100 years old. This is probably made by the artisan Michos Caldwelly of the Storm Breath Caldwellies.
The Caldwellies. Hello, we are the Caldwellies.
Yeah, they're Italian.
I like it.
done in the dwarven style, but not by dwarven hands, you realize.
Oh,
cool. Interesting. So
admirers.
Where are the Storm Breath Caldwellies from?
Hailing largely from Mirabar.
Are they dragonborn?
Yes.
Cool.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling pretty tired. I have about 11 hit points left.
Oh, no.
I'm wondering.
Red, if you go down to zero, I'll heal you then, because then it'll be maximum efficiency.
I just need a good night's sleep. I'm wondering if we can throw up the tent and maybe camp, I don't know, up here, under the night sky. Could be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
It is quite beautiful tonight.
That sounds like a nice idea. Mm. Especially if we have the tent up.
And you can do that as a ritual, right? So you don't have to worry about your zero spell slots?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not too worried. I'm like almost out of gas, but I've got just enough time to do that. Put this beautiful white dome on top of the tower. It sort of blends in with the snow that was up here before, just barely cresting over the edge of the landscape. And, you know, inside the snow melts. It becomes like a really lovely warm temperature, perfect for sleeping in on a crisp night under the stars and the moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Red rolls out his bedroll and climbs into his bed, and with his back to the others, he pulls out that locket again and just looks at the young woman in the photo and sort of just stares at her longingly, a little sad and a little curious, and then tries to fall asleep.
I like that. As you're all lying around this campfire, sort of thinking your own thoughts, Zolkin speaks up. It's a gambling chip, that coin, by the way.
Oh. Red wakes right back up and rolls over, still lying down, but looking.
I feel like Doran kind of turns over and he listens into this as well.
From a ship called the Grand Dame. It's a private riverboat that docks in Yarder every morning and departs at dusk each night. I've seen it. Working on the docks enough to know that that's its schedule every day, no matter what.
Hmm. Where does it go?
Okay. Why would a ship belong to a river? Let's all ask at the same time.
Everyone at once, please.
Where does it go?
That I don't know, Doran. Only its crew and the wealthiest patrons in Yarder seem to be allowed aboard. Invitation only, chap. And I've never been invited on. Not myself.
Well, what about this coin? We've got this coin. Would that be enough to get us on board?
I doubt it very much, and I find it hard to believe that you have with yourselves an original. Those chips are not allowed to leave the boat. It's only sleight of hand that would see one inland. Maybe some thief such as myself, or a daring noble perhaps, brought one back as a souvenir.
Yeah, it was pretty well protected when we found it. I don't think people would go through that level of effort for a forgery. I'd be pretty confident in its authenticity.
So, I don't understand. People get on this with these chips, and we're missing something. What are the chips for?
It's a gambling boat, of course. So, here's what I do know. The boat is owned by one Casper Dryland. He's an extravagant Yarder noble, nose in the air. Political aspirations, is what I've heard.
Mm.
And he invites those other nobles aboard that he wants to impress or maybe convince. I don't know. The workings of people with money. Jack would know better than I.
Ironic that Dryland goes on the river.
That's good, actually.
It's how they get you. Want you to underestimate them.
That's right.
Hmm.
I'm afraid I don't know much more, but that's your coin, and that's what you need to know.
Is there a denomination on the coin?
Duck.
No, it's just a goose. We have one... goose.
And it's wooden.
Why do you say it's not an original? Just because they're difficult to come off?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen my share of forgeries of different kinds of currency. I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, who knows? Maybe it is original.
Well, here. And I reach and I give it to him. Because he never actually saw the original.
He turns it over in his hands and gives a low whistle. Well, it looks good. I mean, I would... Are you guys going to break onto this boat? Because I want in.
Yeah, probably. And Red takes the coin back. I mean, if we're going to break onto anything, why not a boat?
It seems cool.
It might be a good distraction from all this.
Maybe, well, not until we know a little bit more about why we would need to go on the boat, but ultimately, this coin has larger implications to the mission we're on, I say with wide eyes towards the other three.
Implications. And Doran kind of turns onto his back and stares up at the sky, going quiet.
We found this at the Hemperat house, right? I wonder if Hemperat has any connections.
Might be worth asking Thalas. B and Orin are back there. We could send them a letter and see if they could ask him.
Yeah.
Might be a little more personal than just a letter asking him.
I get the sense it might be nice to just to send Bionor in a letter anyways that they could respond with. If you know, just for the like hell of it, we got a great excuse. You know, it might be nice
to... Well, it's been like a day.
Yeah, it's been, this will be the second night.
It's like 2 days. I don't want to be needy, Jack.
They might not even be there yet.
Yeah, they're probably not there yet.
They show up, there's like five letters waiting for them.
And a care package.
Hi, how you doing? Miss you. Hope you come back soon.
Bunch of Kraloth scones.
Why haven't you responded?
Okay, I'm just going to bed. Whatever. Fine. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to. I'm done with this relationship.
Hey, you up?
You still there? Just kidding.
Yeah, it might be interesting to look at the Hamperet House ledgers to see if it's clear how much they paid to get on the gambling boat or took with them or what they had to buy in, just to see if there was any...
Yeah.
Well, we did look through all those ledgers and we couldn't make sense of them at the time. Maybe with the Grand Dame name, we might be able to put more together?
Why not pretend like you're a Hamperet to get on the boat? Maybe they don't know the face.
Well, if these coins aren't meant to come off the boat and they stole them, then maybe there wasn't a great relationship there. Look, regardless, we have a name, and I think following up on that, as well as whatever Jack might know about this Dryland fellow, might help paint a picture.
Drylund, by the way, L-U-N-D.
Yeah, so mine was funnier, though.
I know, it is. It's very funny.
I mean, we nobles don't all know each other, Red. All those nobles look alike to you. I get it. I see how it is to Tabaxi.
Anyone who's not a cat.
If he's got political aspirations, maybe there's some sort of leverage that we as adventurers who have been all around, we know what's going on in the world, maybe there's something we can offer him.
Jack goes into politics. I mean, we want to first be careful about where we throw the name Nightstone 4 around. We don't want to support the wrong people, Red says, like, without looking at Doran. He just sort of like his glance goes over to that direction and then back and then says, additionally, I don't know, Zulkin might have a beat on this. He said that sneaking on might be the way to go. If this is an exclusive thing, the way that you seem it is, maybe no level of nobility connections would get us on.
All I know is that when people board this boat, they're checked against a list. It's invitation only, darling.
Right. Well, I like the subterfuge option personally, and I think, end of the day, if we needed to get on it, me disguising myself with my new tattoo could be pretty fun. And he uses disguise self, and I, in front of your eyes, I like change to Zulkin. Yeah, I suddenly look exactly like Zulkin.
Zulkin's like, oh, what the fuck?
That's magic! And he snaps
his
fingers.
That's your once per day.
Goes back. Yeah, I'm about to go to sleep. I'm fine with it.
Cool.
Jack's mind went immediately to like five pieces of criticism to how he could tell the two apart just to like give Red a heads up, but then like stops himself before he gives any of the notes and be like, it's not appropriate right now. That's not what this is about. This is just...
First off, you're lying on Red's bed. Second off, I saw you do it.
I'm very smart. Did you know how smart I am?
But no, I think sneaking on could be really cool. But we have the name, we have the information. You've held up your bargain. Maybe you could do a little bit more research on this Grand Dame while you're around Yarda, if you're planning on staying around there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I will stay.
No?
You're welcome to. None of us have the level of expertise in places that you tend to travel. It's a hole we lack on the Nightstone. And I look around for a minute. Five.
He gives you kind of a wry smile. He's like, I'll think about it.
All right, no pressure. We run into you, but you're also welcome to travel back with us. Safer in numbers, you know.
That's not wrong.
Anyway, we should get some shut-eye.
All right, sleep on it. I'm exhausted.
Same. Good night, Kraloth.
Good night, Red.
Good night, Doran.
Good night.
Doran continues to stare into the night sky.
Good night, Jack.
Good night, Red.
Sulkin.
Good night, boys.
Typical Zulkin. Always needs the last word. Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Christopher Ryan Evans, Colin Burkhart, Daniel, Doug, Jessica Orrit, Mari Kaneski, Katie Orrit, Perrin Karisti, and Merlin. See you soon!